Okay, let me just go. Okay, Tim, I'll just give
I'm
you
ready.
The.
I'm nervous.
Okay, no. Okay.
You're okay. So cute. You're so adorable.
Great. Okay, ready, Tim? Yeah. Three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And I am Matt Emmert, and we have a treat for you guys today. We are so lucky, in honor of Friday the 13th. We are here with one of our favorite final girls from the Friday the 13th series. She was the star of Friday the 13th Part 4, The Final Chapter, our own Trish Jarvis, Kimberly Beck Clark.
Yay!
Yay! Hello!
Hi! We are so happy and honored to have you on this episode, especially with Friday the 13th here at this week. And just got a quick story to tell you, Kimberly, or do you prefer Kim?
No, Kim's good. Kim's good.
Well, Kim, just so you know, random side note, we used to be on a kickball team in West Hollywood called the Scream Queens, where we each, in the back of our uniforms, had the name of our favorite Scream Queen. And no joke, who do you think was the name on the back of Tim's uniform?
Hey
Beck. Yes.
Oh my God. Why wasn't I invited to that game?
Are you kidding? We would have died, no pun intended.
I was a cheerleader, okay? I was a cheerleader. I could have been there. I could have been cheering.
Oh my God. See, but we have the uniform. Tim still has it, right?
I still have it. Yeah. I'm the coolest girl, and it's Kimberly Beck.
You are so kind and so sweet. It feels like another lifetime ago.
I know, and we have a lot of questions for you, and I'm sorry if some of them you've been asked a million times before.
We're two geeks who've watched this film many, many times. So if you're like, a good question is, when it's on TV, do you watch it?
Or when was the last time you saw the film?
Well, my son Miles came with me to sign autographs in Cherry Hill. I don't even know. I think it was 2000. It was about 2005.
Okay.
I was asked to sign autographs at that horror convention or whatever. He was so adorable, my son. He fell in love with horror, and he loves Halloween. And my husband would have the coolest Halloween parties.
Nice. Because
we would decorate. I would make cosmos, but I would put lychee nuts in it so it looked like there were eyeballs. And I got all the wine had, the special labels that were like horror labels. One year when he was doing Cabin in the Woods, he brought home
great movie.
He brought home the fog thing, and we have a courtyard in the front of our house, so we had and we put ice and dried ice in our fountain, so everything was we've always had the greatest Halloween party. So one of the things that Jason does that I was embarrassed about, but everybody likes it, he would have that on a loop on the big screen. And
that is amazing. Jason, your husband, of course, not Jason Voorhees.
Isn't that hysterical thing for you?
It was really funny because my first son was born on Thursday the 12th.
Oh my God.
Where you had to be thinking.
Like, oh my God, I married a guy named Jason. I'm having this baby. It can't come on the 13th.
That would have been amazing, but oh, sorry. Go on.
We've always had this great party, and so that would be playing, and that was the only time I would see it. I never really. It's hard to watch yourself, It's not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
No. What was, and I know, it was back obviously in 1984, but like just starting to begin, what was the audition process like for you for that movie? Like, did you know it was a Friday the 13th movie? Were you familiar with the franchise at that time?
Yeah. I've never ever seen any other Friday the 13th, but mine.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, cause I get really scared and I don't know.
I just look at them like soaps because they're like, because it's the most dramatic thing, and there's a continuation, and it's a hot young cast.
Yours is definitely one of the best, though, and I'm not just saying that because you're on there. Like, I think we could agree, like, at least you've seen one of the best ones in the series. But
that's so sweet. You know, what I did I approached it, I remember thinking, I don't want to see one. I don't want to act like I'm acting as, you know, like acting out and not just being in it. So I tried really hard to be as much as I could in just the reality of it. And I was nervous that if I saw it, that I would start acting like the other girl. I didn't know how I was going to scream or any of that. You know, it's weird when you don't. I remember like being in my house and I got the job and I was like, okay, I got to scream. Like, I've always had those weird dreams where you can't scream. You know, have you ever had
that? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I know.
Mouth and you can't, it's the worst feeling, isn't it?
It has to mean something. It's terrible.
Or like, yeah. I've also had the weird dreams, almost like the little paralysis when you feel like you can't move and stuff. And that's terrifying too. That's
no, but like, I've had a boy and I had to scream in our little horror film. And screaming does not come naturally. I mean, unless you're really genuinely scared. And I don't even think if you're scared, you would even take the time to scream.
Yeah. I think, wait, you said you have a boy?
I was saying I'm a boy.
Oh.
No, but don't scream.
Did the screaming come naturally to you? Like, were you able to just get into that frame of mind?
Yeah, once it was connected to a real fear, I could scream. But I don't think I screamed that much. I mostly cried and yelled Tommy.
No, that is true. Had you done any horror movies or horror films or horror TV shows or anything horror related before Friday the 13th?
Never. No. I'd always done, you know, I started work when I was 2.
Oh my gosh.
I always did. I mean, my first movie was, I played Jimmy Stewart's daughter. And there's actually a really funny photograph of me hysterically screaming and crying at 2 years old with Jimmy Stewart holding me. Somebody sent it to me. It's on the internet.
That's amazing.
But anyway, I never in all those years did anything. I'm trying to think today. I mean, Marnie was a Hitchcock film, but it wasn't scary, really. It was, you know, I didn't. Oh, I did The Munsters. That was scary.
Oh, you were on The Munsters? Like a guest star? Or, oh my God, that's so cool.
It was the one where Eddie drinks a potion, he turns into a girl. Grandpa makes a potion and he turns into a girl. And so that was me.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Like,
That was a scary set.
That's so funny. So when you got the role of Trish Jarvis, did you know right away that she'd be the final girl in the movie? I mean, like, you're one of very few survivors of this entire series. Did you know when you got the part that it was the lead or the survivor?
I knew she was the lead because I was brought in. I was thinking about it and I was going to look it up before I called you just because I was curious. Fern Champion, I think, was her...
The casting director, right?
Yeah. And I don't know, I was thinking, I wonder if she's related to Gower Champion now that I'm older and I know Gower Champion and, you know, the dancer. And I just wondered if she was. That's why I was like in the shower washing my hair going, God, I should look her up because maybe. But she brought me in and she had cast me in a soap opera called Capital. And
by the way, I have to mention this because I told my mom that we were interviewing you and I was saying like, you know, Kimberly Beck from Friday the 13th, part 4, the final chapter. And she's like, oh, you mean Kimberly Beck from Capital? Yes. My mom remembers you. I just have to give a shout out to that because she was like, I remember her in Capital. And so it's so funny.
Your mom, thank you so much.
Yes. Oh my God. Well, she'll listen to this and she'll be very happy that I met you. But yes, she loved Capital. Okay. Rant over.
No, it's fine.
I love it. So, I was married to Baron Hilton Jr. and John Conboy cast me in Capital. And I was not happily married and I left him, but you know, I went by Kimberly Beck Hilton then. And John thought that I was like a princess to him. You know, this is before Paris Hilton.
I was going to ask you, any relation to Paris and Nikki?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. I've seen her a couple times since, obviously. Yeah. She was my niece. But
oh my gosh.
Well, before she made that part of that family famous, it was just Hilton Hotels. And So John Convoy loved that. And when I left, I seriously, it was like 3 weeks later, he fired me and hired Catherine Hicklin to take my part because she was married to David Hasselhoff.
Oh my gosh.
He had some bizarre, there was no reason to fire me. So I had left my husband, didn't take anything. I was a working actor. And I needed to, you know, make money. So I was like, this is like not exactly the thing I want to do. Because I, you know, but it's a really fun part. If I really
it's a play great it, role.
Yeah. If I really play it real, you know, it's not campy or whatever. So it was fun. I had the best time on that movie. I had the biggest crush on Frank Mancuso Jr.
He is cute. I've seen him in interviews. Yeah.
He's still really cute. he was adorable. I really had a crush on him. And his ex-wife, he wasn't married to her then, but he was dating her. So it was kind of shitty of me to do that. But I mean, we never dated or anything, but I did have a big crush on him.
That's so and funny.
She is... Becky Mancuso Winding is her name. She's one of my closest friends. It's so funny. She lives like four blocks from me.
What a small world.
I know. It's so weird.
That's so cool. You know, it's funny because when we look at the part of Trish, you know, she's such a smart, resourceful, you know, tough character. And as you know, well, actually, maybe you don't because you don't watch a lot of horror because you said you did. But, you know, we as people who watch so much horror, those characters are few and far between. And your character, it really, yeah, like, I mean, it started a legacy, really, as just like a tough final girl. Like, how does it feel to join the ranks of, like, these final girls who have survived them in tough, compassionate characters, you know?
When you go to the conventions, like, and you see the other final girls, they're like, is it a fun group to be in, or is it
we're all good friends. And I mean, I'm the biggest chicken in the world, and so for me to be thought of as like I was a tough chick is hysterical because I'm such a baby. and I went and stayed with my mom because she was sick, and I stayed with her in Idaho. She lives in the woods in this, she has like 3.5 acres, this gorgeous house. But it was just the two of us. I was like, Mom, I'm sleeping with you. I'm scared. So I slept with my mom. I'm like, oh my God, let's not even talk about how old I am to be. But yeah, I'm a big scaredy cat. You know who I love? Well, I love all the girls. We've all done stuff together, you know, a couple of times. But Amy.
Amy Steele from yes. 513 Part 2?
Yes. Yeah. She is one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life.
She seems in interviews and things.
She's a therapist. She went to school. But my son just got married during COVID.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And they picked the little town that Amy lives in Oregon. So I called Amy and I was like, Amy, you're not going to believe this. I've never been there. Could you like... tell me I need to get a caterer because we only did 10 people, but I had to do it like it was a real wedding. Mm-hmm. And I rented a house on an acre over the ocean. It was amazing, but it was the weekend of the gnarly fires that were in Oregon.
Yeah.
I never saw the ocean. It was literally on the ocean. But Amy came through for me in such a great way. She's one of the coolest people. She's just so real and down to earth and loving and kind. She allowed me to have everything delivered to her house.
Oh, wow.
From Amazon. I had to buy tables and chairs because my son, I had like linen napkins and linen tablecloths, and I had to get like a caterer. I had to get a florist. I had to get a photographer. It was like, you know, we were really doing a wedding, but we all got tested and we drove there.
Wow.
You know, we drove to Oregon. And so I saw her my son got married on September 12th. So,
oh my gosh.
Congratulations with it. You know, no, that's so cool that you keep in touch with her.
Yeah.
You know, I got to ask about, which I'm sure you've been asked a million times. Obviously, most of your scenes in the movie are with Corey Feldman, who I know was kind of like, was he a big child star at the time? Or was he just up and coming?
From what I know,
starting to.
He was just starting. Yeah. What was he like to work with? Was he easygoing that time? Or was he already knew he was a star?
No, you know, because I was a child star kind of.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I had a lot of empathy for somebody that works when they're that young. It's not a natural thing. And I could see dysfunction in his family. I remember the first, we started shooting on Halloween and we were in Buellton and I took him trick or treating. Cause I said,
really?
Yeah. I said, you need to go trick or treating and I'm going to take you.
You're like, we're going to set up the brother sister bond right away. Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. And, so we were in this really podunk. Now it's kind of a cooler town. It's Solvang, really.
Oh,
and okay.
Yeah. Buellton, you know, was Anderson split pieces.
Yeah. I know Solvang.
That's where we stayed.
I've never heard of Buellton.
I've heard of Slovang.
Solvang, yeah.
I'm pronouncing that way wrong.
I was like, Slovenia? I'm
butchering that completely.
So you took him trick-or-treating after the first day of shooting on Halloween?
After the first day, I don't know what he got dressed up as or anything, but he was like 11 or 12. And I said, I'm taking you trick-or-treating. So I did. And it was really fun. We had a great time. But I was really like a big sister to him. I loved him so much. And, you know, I was at the offices and Family Guy offices doing some business. I had gone in. And I saw, you know, you sign in and I saw right above where I signed in, it said Corey Feldman. And I hadn't seen him. I went to visit him on the Goonies, on the set of the Goonies.
Really?
Yeah. I was working on TJ Hooker. I was working on TJ Hooker and I was like, oh my God, I've got to go say hi to Corey. It was a couple of years later. And, but I really hadn't seen him. So he was recording something for Family Guy. So I went over and I hugged him and we saw each other. And then we saw each other again at a friend had a screening and I saw, so I've seen him and we talk on Instagram sometimes, but.
Aww, that's so cool.
I love that. You stay in contact.
I was just going to ask if you stayed in contact. Have you been in contact with anyone else from the film or anyone in the crew or anything, or even or casually saw?
I saw Joe Zito at Target once.
Where everyone sees everyone. Right. I feel like I always see people at Target.
The one in Woodland Hills. I was at that one.
Oh my god.
And
gosh.
I had my Miles with me, my baby, and he was sitting in the cart. He was probably 3 or 4. And he's 24 now. So it's been a while.
Oh wow. Okay.
It's funny to see Joe. I loved him. Joe was fantastic. He was great to work with. Oh, and so my husband produces a TV show called The Orville. And I went on the set to see my husband and Tom Savini's there.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. It was
like 2 years ago maybe. And I was like, Tom. And Brandon Braga, who did Star Trek, I guess they had worked together. He's a friend of Brandon's. So I was like, do you realize that I've known Tom Savini forever, you know, because he was on the show.
Wow. No, that's really cool. You know, we were thinking about how in the movie, it's kind of like there's two different storylines. There's you and the Jarvis family, and then there's all the, like, the other people across from you.
The two houses.
Yeah, the two houses. Yeah. Did you guys film completely separate? Like, because there aren't many scenes with you with the other people in the house. Did you see them a lot when you were filming, or was it just you and, like, Corey and the Jarvis family on days?
I was good friends with Eric Anderson.
Rob, yeah.
Rob, he's killing me.
Rob, yeah.
One of my favorite lines as he's getting killed, yelling, he's killing me. I'm just thinking, if I'm getting killed.
That's the last thing I'm going to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I have a question. Uh-huh. When you go down into the basement, did they build that basement in that house?
Oh.
I mean, because like in California, you can't have basements, can you?
Very specific.
No, wait. Some people have basements. I don't know what that was. Do you know, honestly, I don't remember, but there was a house across, right across. I wonder if they built that house across.
I mean, from I've watched a couple documentaries. I mean, I think you guys, it was built and then the house, the cabin is still there and still standing.
That's so
Yeah, there was a family that, and I guess when I had that machete and I got Jason on his hand with a machete, one of the takes I missed and hit one of the logs in the house. So they like kept the, like, there was like a little bit that came off of the wood, you know, I cut off of the wood. So
it's still there. So you can see.
Yeah.
So yeah. Did you see the other actors a lot other than Eric Anderson or did they film on different days?
No, we were all together, especially in Buellton. And when we were shooting at Zaka Lake, which is up above Solvang. And now it's just called Zaka Station. I don't know it. I don't know what's there. We just drove by, my husband and I, and we took our dog, our old guy, up to the beach up there and stayed for 3 days because he loves to swim in the ocean. But when we were coming back just now, you know, like a couple days ago, I said, you know, I would really love to go back to Zaka Lake because it was kind of a cool place. There was all these cabins around a lake. It was like the perfect place to shoot the movie. And it was, wait, what were we talking about?
Oh, just saying if you were shooting on the same days as all the other cast and
stuff. Oh yeah, we were all together for some of it, but I'm such a weirdo and loner in a way, especially when I work. I never have been super social. I'm not.
You were there to do a job.
Exactly. I was there to do a job, and there was also, I don't know, I don't know why. I was never really that. Now I would be. Now I'd be really into being friends, but I think I was, you know, I was going through a divorce. I was feeling so much older than them too.
Hey, like, you took Corey Feldman trick or treating. That's all that matters. No, I mean,
they were all lovely, lovely people. I mean, Crispin was very sweet. And Judy Aronson and I are still friends.
Barbara Howard.
Barbara Howard, I don't know what happened to her. She was kind of like me. We were both kind of kept to ourselves in a way. And the twins, I see them on Instagram or whatever. They were so, everybody was so nice. There wasn't a bitch in the group.
No, that is good. Like, I mean, usually there's like the one bad seed or the one
that everybody hates. Like, no, there wasn't.
Exactly.
Everybody was really, really nice. But I don't know. I think it was that time in my life of really, you know, I grew up very fast and very young because I was in an adult world my whole life. And I guess maybe I was getting sick of being on a set in a way, you know, like there's people that are just so happy to be on a set. And that was the beginning of me starting to not feel so happy on a set. So I would say like 8 years later, I kind of stopped acting. I think I'm too self-conscious. You know,
when you, did you go see it opening weekend? I mean, were you like,
yes,
cool to see it? I mean, like on the big screen, or are you just like, I don't want to,
It was great. My mom, we all got dressed up and we went to Westwood. And I'll never forget when I went down those steps, they told me to go down the steps. So you do what the director says. But I was like, why would I go down the steps?
I love it. He's killing me.
Yeah, you know, I think it's so good because you wanted to save him. And then who knew he was going to come up the staircase? But I mean, so many reasons. But when you take the machete, like, that's genuinely scary.
Yeah. And also, I know, like, sound like a broken record, but the fact that the part so great is that not only is Trish tough, obviously, and fights back, but she's also always looking out for her little brother. And, you know, like, let's be honest, most people in horror movies are incredibly selfish.
Oh, and
that's very funny.
Were you upset when they cut that scene where you find your mom in the bathtub? I mean, were you, like...
That was so painful and hard to shoot, and I worked so hard, And I was bummed because I thought that it, I was sort of not, I just thought it was a really good, really good work. Really good work on my part.
No, but, I mean, no.
Such a good scene.
It's but, at least we, they have it on the DVD. Like
yeah,
the,
that's how I saw it. I was so excited.
Yeah, they do. They had. Right.
Oh, that's right. They had me. They were like, "Can you remember your line? Can you say? Can you say what you were saying?" I go, "No, I can't do that now."
I always think it's funny when people want to hear the actors say their line from a long time. Like, I of course I want to ask a billion questions, but like I don't like I have the movie to see the yeah. line, you know? Like, but right, yeah, right. It's a, I think it is a great scene. I don't know why. Why did they cut it? What was the reason?
I don't know. I mean, because the other films had like a dream sequence. Because like you wake up in the hospital, and I'm assuming that was a dream, right? That was all dream.
Oh God, I guess.
Well, that leads me to something I've been wanting to, was there talk, I mean, there had to have been talk about bringing Trish back for a sequel. I mean, because she had survived, was there ever talk about that?
Yeah, maybe, but you know, I had that crush on Frank, which probably wasn't very kosher. I'm sure they were like, don't bring her back. Don't.
It's 40 years ago.
Really? Oh, because it's just like I said, so few people survive the movies. And you know, I mean, I know you said you hadn't seen it, but you know, they've brought Tommy Jarvis's character back twice with two different actors.
But it wasn't Corey though, right?
Yeah, it wasn't Corey. And it was a little weird, especially when you see.
Well, I mean, nothing against Corey. The other two guys are pretty hot. That's all I'm saying.
Are they hot?
Yeah, well, the guy who plays him in part five, which is a very different sort of movie because it's like a copycat killer.
I tried something new.
Yeah, and you know, but it is funny because you would think, like, where's Trish in this? You know, yeah. Like, they brought Tommy back. That's why I always wondered, like, had they thought about bringing you back? But you didn't know if they had specifically thought about it or you
but
thought.
There was something, and of course, me, because I was a working actor and I didn't have any other way that I ever had made money, and I bought a house. I was like, I'll do anything except a porno. But but I worked, you know, I wanted to work to pay bills. And it was, you know, it was important. But wait, I was gonna say one thing. Oh my God, I've been up since 4:30. I forget. Anyway, it'll come to me. Sorry.
Oh. No worries.
We were just talking about like how they did Tommy Jarvis's story, but you were a huge part of part four. Like, I'm actually surprised they just did Tommy. Like, they're like three more movies with Tommy. But oh, I was gonna ask you. This is just a silly question. Like, when it's Friday 13th, because like I work for an actress and a director. I'm a personal assistant. Like, they get residuals in their mailbox, and it's like, I'm like, that is awesome. So like, whenever Friday 13th rolls around, are you?
Residuals. Yeah, they're not. I mean, I usually cash them and pay my housekeeper. It's like, you can come an extra day this week. I don't know. I'm so weirdly ethical when it comes to like that kind of thing. You would think that I, you know, didn't have enough money, but I'm always really excited when I get those checks because I can, I will have her come and I'll pay her extra. That's where that money goes.
That is awesome. Very nice. Yeah. Do you, so where do you fall on the spectrum? Would you say between like,
I'm autistic. You
know, not that. Where do you fall? Oh, wow. Oh my God. Where do you, okay. Let me choose a different way. What I was going to say is, you know, there's a lot of people who they've done horror in the past and sometimes they're like, oh, I just want to kind of forget about it. And there's other people who are like, okay, that led to like great roles in my career. Do you look back on this movie like with fond memories? Like, or is it kind of like, well, you know, not one of the biggest things you're excited about? Like, where do you kind of?
Oh no. You know something? If I was to talk to my younger self, I think I was such a good person. I was somebody that just had a really strong work ethic. It didn't really matter. Like I said, I wouldn't do something that was like going to compromise my morality in some way. I just was so concerned about, I never wanted to be a star. I wanted to be a working person. I still have that kind of work ethic. And I sort of love that about who I was, because I wasn't pretentious. Like I didn't think of myself as anything except a working actor, that somebody that loved, I had fun. It was my creative outlet. I really appreciated doing it. I was so grateful for the opportunity, but really my way of supporting myself. That's how I looked at it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I was really grateful for that experience. It was amazing. I mean, we just talked about it when we passed Zacha Station, not Zacha Lake, Zacha Station. I said, that movie went on forever. It's supposed to be like, I mean, my husband just shot a movie in 21 days and it's a good movie. This went on forever. And I don't know, I mean, we shot all the way from the 31st of October until into January.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a long time. And I was so grateful because I was like, God, I made some real money on this. I was really excited for that reason. But it was really, for me, I was very grateful and never felt like, oh, you know, it wasn't a good experience. It was a great experience. And, you know, learning the physical part of it, I ran every day, like 3 miles. I stayed in really good shape. I didn't get sick because
it was rain. You were in the rain the whole time.
And it was in the middle of the night in Topanga Canyon.
So
in
cold.
In December. Oh, I mean, God. It was so cold. They would put warm water in the sprayer that they would spray on me. And for like 2 seconds, it felt great. And I'd be like, oh, this is it. Oh, it's turning cold. sometimes I have like, not bad post-traumatic. I'm not saying to be dramatic, but I get it. I have a little bit of...
instantly go back to that time.
Whenever I end up like the shower turns cold or something, I'm like, oh my God, I'm back on the set. I've got to start running. I've got a hatchet in my hand.
I know, no, strenuous. I mean, like that's the thing about horror. It's like if you're in it, especially if you are the survivor, the final girl, as people call, you know, that you have to expect you're going to be running, screaming, doing everything.
Oh, I have a nerd question for you. With that hammer, when Corey gets attacked and you take a hammer, what obviously it wasn't a real hammer, but it, I mean, with the
when
sound
she's hitting
yeah.
Jason over.
Yeah, I think it was made like of some sort of foam.
Oh my gosh. It looked, I mean, with the sound effects and the music and everything.
Part of the close-up, I think I had a real hammer and then it got switched for other takes when it was like flaccid.
all those flaccid hammers. Were there any like injuries on the set between either you or who played Jason in the...
Ted White.
I think I hurt him. Maybe I saw him and he said I hurt him when we were shooting, and I don't remember, but I still don't remember, obviously.
You're like, sorry. I'm getting into character.
There was some sort of excuse me, but I didn't get hurt. No, I just got really freaking cold, but I was in the best shape of my life because I was running every day and sweating and eating healthy. And it was a really fun time for that
like
way physically.
Olympics.
Yeah. It made me feel really strong. I did feel really strong for me. 'Cause I gotta be honest with you. I'm not an athlete. I'm really not. And that was one time in my life where I really felt like I was, you know, like I was kind of strong and I liked it.
Yeah. And you're playing a strong character. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I know you were saying you're kind of a scaredy cat, but it's like, you know, that's so cool that not only were you in great shape and you enjoyed it, but you're also playing a really great character. You know, I mean, I just have two more questions for you. And then I know we want to let you get back to your evening. But one of it is because I'm sure this has been, it's been 36 years since.
30, I'm not good with math.
I mean, do you still get noticed slash contacted slash about this film? I mean, obviously we contacted you, but yeah, but I mean, is this something that continues to come up? I would assume yes, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's gotten bigger as time has gone on.
Yeah, each generation discovers it in like, and I'm a hockey mask is so iconic that you can't escape it. I mean, at the time when you saw the mask, you like,
you know,
this
wait.
Is gonna happen forever.
Yeah, it was very, I mean, it was a great experience. I loved all the people. We had so much fun. It was a really great experience and I'm grateful for it. And it is the thing that most people remember me by. You know, a lot of people don't know that I had been acting for years and, you know, that was kind of towards the end of my career when I just kept getting guest starring roles after that where I had been raped or I had been, and I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't know, but it was really, really an incredible part. And I would say that would be the thing that most people, I'm always kind of shocked about it.
Well, you did such a good job in it.
And there is a lot of horror nerds like us that,
You guys are so sweet. Thank you so much.
No, of course. The last question.
I want to just tell you. So I don't know if you guys know who Bobby Heckman is. But he's like a super horror fan. He lives in New York, but I met him a couple of times at autograph signings. And then has come out here and we'd meet for lunch. He's the sweetest, greatest guy. But he said to me, you had an impact on my life because when I would come home from school or I would watch that movie, I related to, I wanted a big sister like you, basically. Mm. And a lot of people have told me that their parents were both at work or it was like somebody that made them, that the movie made them almost feel safe in a way, you know, that it had an impact kind of, I would say people like in their early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my early 40s.
No, that's
fabulous, though. You look fabulous.
It must feel that's so cool. Like, just that's so cool to hear. It's so cool that, like, that to play a part in one of these movies that has such a lasting effect. I mean, obviously.
No, I'm very honored. And it's just so, you know, what really matters the most are people. And I mean, good people. And I have met the nicest people that are big fans of horror or the Friday the 13th. And you wouldn't think so. I remember when I was going to the autograph signing and I brought Miles with me, who was 9 at the time. I was like, you know, these might be weird people. I don't know. I don't know what horror people are like at all. I had no idea. And everybody was like, I was overwhelmed by how kind and sweet. And I was embarrassed in a way, like, oh my God, I don't deserve for you to feel that way about me. It was very sweet. And it was really touching to me. I remember, you know, calling my husband saying, these people are unbelievable. I love them. So my experience with everybody's been the whole thing has been great. It really, honestly, it has. And I don't think I did one really bad movie called Nightmare at Noon, I think it was. Oh, it's the worst. I drink the water in this little town and I turn green and I become rabid and I attack people. But I don't even really know. It was me and Wings Hauser. And both.
I know who that guy is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know personally, but.
Everybody was very nice. We shot it in Moab, Bo Hopkins. And I think, George Kennedy was in it.
I know George Kennedy. Yeah.
It was kind of not the greatest movie, but but that was the only other sort of horror movie. But that wasn't really a horror movie. It was just, I had rabies or something.
That's amazing. what I wanted to kind of ask you is the final question. If they ever decided to reboot the Friday the 13th series today and wanted to bring Trish Jarvis back, would you be up for reprising the role?
Totally. It would be okay, so that fun. It would be good. I had like this idea. I thought getting the four Friday girls together, we're meeting, we go to like Camp Crystal Lake and or whatever, we go like as the actresses. And then a whole Friday the 13th thing would start. Like we'd bring our teenage kids and then they would be the ones that started the new. I remember saying like, wouldn't it be fun if they rebooted it in that way? You know, like these actresses, they're going for autograph signing and they're going to do it at Camp Crystal Lake, but it's really like the setup and it's like Jason comes or I don't know. I've thought it would be so fun to do that. I think I would have to pull my shit together.
I love that. Don't you?
Absolutely.
No. And let me just tell you, as horror fans as we are, it is so nice to hear that kind of thing because people love these characters. And, you know, like you see what they've done with like the Halloween franchise. They brought Jamie Lee Curtis back after 40 years. It's like a lot of these characters, the nostalgia factor is so important. So I think people would absolutely love to see that. So it's so cool that you're up for that, you know?
Yeah, I would totally. I mean, I'd need a little notice, but
we can get back into that 1984 shape running 3 miles.
And that shirt dress.
Yeah, oh my gosh, did you get to keep it?
Oh my God, I was so freaking sick of that thing. I had like 10 of them and the boots. I think that was my idea, the outfit.
But you said it was a men's shirt with a belt, right?
It was a man's shirt with a belt.
It was a cute outfit.
It was, but that is so odd. Like they're like, you know what? Let's have her wear a men's shirt with a belt.
Well, and you know what's funny is like
no budget. And so it was like a really, but wait, what were you going to say, Tim?
I was just going to say like, you know, when you go out to meet Rob in the tent, like no, they didn't give you an umbrella. They didn't give you a jacket. They're just like, you know what? She would just go in her clothes.
She would go in that same dress. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cute in the boots.
Yeah, the boots, they were really cheap boots. They weren't they were slippery in that mud when I was running. It was not necessarily the best choice.
Were you there the day that the girl jumped through the window? Like, obviously that wasn't you, it was a stunt woman, but did you get to see it live?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think so. I was probably so freezing from being wet that they would, you know, wrap me up and then I'd
be like, I'm good.
Wait, that wasn't you jumping through the window? I thought it was you.
Yeah, somebody thought that it was me.
Really?
I mean, it looks
like I didn't correct them though. I let them think it was me.
You're like, yeah, you know, part of, I hope you got stunt pay for that.
It was great. And I am so grateful that you guys contacted me. It's very sweet. I mean, people have asked and I'm like, I don't know. I haven't done anything in a while. There's another person that has asked me to do a podcast and I will do it because he's a friend actually. Oh. And like an actual friend, but I haven't really done any and it's so much fun. It's so much fun to finally meet you, Tim.
Yeah, so nice to meet you too. I've been just like, I mean, I picked you for my kickball name. And
yeah,
I was like,
he did. He
I
did.
Like, I'm picking Kimberly back because she's awesome. Yeah.
I love you.
And just so we are so incredibly grateful that you took the time out because, and I know like I Matt haven't been connected to you on Instagram. I hope that now we can be. But we are so grateful that you took the time to talk about this. I know because it's been a long time.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
We appreciate it. So the pleasure's all ours.
Next time I'll turn my camera on.
Oh, we understand. You had eye surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
And now eye surgery, and I also got up at 4:30 and went to my job that I have. I'm redoing a house. I'm a designer now. I'm not really a designer. I'm actually went back to college and I'm getting my degree in psychology. And what I would really love to be. Yeah, I'm almost done.
Wait, can you and Amy Steele open a practice together?
I'll come to you.
Wouldn't that be scary for somebody to come in and go, oh my God.
Oh my God. Can you imagine this? Kim and Amy.
But you're survivors.
Yeah. You can be like from Survivor.
We're going to teach you how to be survivors.
I mean, joke as we made, you know how many people would probably come to that practice?
A million.
She's amazing for what she's very inspiring to me. I love that she did that. It's hard to go back to school. I never finished I went to UCLA and I had two TV shows and it was like, I'm making too much money and it's too hard to go to school. So I quit college and then I went back and I'm like three classes away from getting my bachelor's. And then I would have to do the 2 years for the master's, but I don't know if I necessarily will do that, but that has been the thing that I would really love to do. I would love to, I think it comes from wanting to help myself that I would want to help others, you know?
That's great. Yeah, that really is great. We'll stick with it. I think that there's everyone's timeline is different. I know lots of people who've gone back to school, done career changes. And I think that's great. Like that
you're also really good for your brain as you age.
Yeah.
I took a physics class. Okay. Physics class. My son has his degree in physics. And I was like, I would call him up and go, okay, so this is what I know now. Because he wrote a thesis and I could not understand it. And he got published in the European Journal of Physics. He wrote thesis.
I'm impressed.
And now he's a software engineer, but the one that just got married.
Okay.
But it's been really incredible. I feel like I did life backwards because I worked through my childhood. And then when I got older, I went to college.
Hey,
there's no rules. Life has no master plan.
You're right. And it'll all come full circle when we get this new Friday the 13th reboot on.
Oh, so tell me, will you send me the link to the podcast?
Of course.
Of course. Yeah, of course, first off, we'll definitely promote it and we're probably.
Are they going to see you on the podcast?
No.
Like this? Oh, it's just, okay.
It'll just be audio, but we're planning to release it on Friday the 13th. So probably like Friday at midnight or something, just so it's perfect for a Friday the 13th thing. And we will definitely be promoting it on Instagram and, you know,
Twitter.
You are a special guest and we're really excited. I mean, this this made not only our day, like probably our month
2020
and year.
It's
really like, seriously.
Oh my God. So that's so sweet. Cause 2020 has sure sucked. Hasn't it?
Yeah. 2020 has sucked, but what a great way to bring in the ending of the year to be able to talk to you.
Sweet. Me and Biden, right?
You're like, first Kimberly Clark, next Joe Biden.
Exactly. No, you guys are so sweet. Thank you so much. I send you big hugs and love.
Yes.
And it's such an honor to be, you know, that you wanted me to do it.
Oh, it's the honor and the pleasure is all ours. Seriously. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
I just want to hug you guys.
Oh, I know. Here, virtual hug. Virtual hug.
Virtual hug. You're so cute.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, take care. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks to everyone for listening to Happy Whore Time. We're so grateful you've taken the time to listen.
We hope you'll stick with us as we review more horror movies, continue to spoil everything, and reach out to horror celebrities hoping to get them on the show.
Thanks especially to our friends and families for listening and supporting us through it all.
And special thanks to my boyfriend, Jacob Randall, who's basically serving as our producer and helping us with the show. We couldn't have done this without him. Please check out Jacob's very engaging true crime podcast. It's called Crime of Your Life.
If you'd like to support Happy Horror Time, you can sign up at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons will get access to premium content like bonus episodes, additional audio, and more.
You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Happy Horror Time. And if you'd like to contact us, email happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And
thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.